We are joined by David Widener. He is a columnist at the Wall Street Journal for their Market Watch blog. Talk about the latest criminal developments up on Wall Street. It's not something you hear very often, and it's maybe not what you'd expect. Welcome to the show, David. How are you?
I'm happy to be here. So happy.
Thank you for your time. Now, your piece today, she fought Wall Street, and now she's off to jail. Now, most people are still waiting for some. We don't know if there was criminality in the subprime mortgage mess and everything, and all this, the billions of dollars trading hands up there. We all know Bernie Madoff, but the big fish aren't really the ones who are swallowing the hook, so to speak. It's the smaller ones that the government seems to be going after. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. Well, since the financial crisis, most of the wrongdoing, the subprime mortgages, the toxic investments that were sold to investors, everything that goes along with that, the foreclosures, these have been mostly settled through settlements in which shareholders really pay the price, because these companies are told to fork over billions of dollars to the government, some to investors, but the shareholders really take the hit in these companies, and we're all shareholders. I mean, if we have 401ks, if we have retirement plans, good chance they're invested in some of these big banks. So what we haven't seen is individuals be held accountable. And we have seen some individuals, small fish at hedge funds like SEC Capital, one guy at Goldman Sachs who was creating these toxic investments. But we haven't seen anybody at the top or the people who are paid to take responsibility for their company's actions. We haven't seen any of them head off to jail. And of course, the latest news about Credit Suisse helping some Americans, their customers, evade taxes. That company is pleading guilty to criminal charges, but again, the CEO still has his job. Business goes on. They're going to pay $2.5 billion and move on.
Now, when you say evade taxes, though, how do they – I'm unfamiliar with that case. How do they evade taxes? Because the laws in this country are a mess. And there are ways to skirt them. Was it illegally evading taxes?
Illegally
hiding money?
Illegally evading taxes by putting money into basically Credit Suisse is a Swiss bank. It's Swiss bank accounts we're talking about. And so Americans with some money they want to hide from the IRS, Credit Suisse was able to help them do that. So that's basically what happened there. We're talking about thousands and thousands of Americans using Swiss bank accounts.
And they just agreed to pay a $2.6 billion settlement, but the CEO, Brady Dugan, still gets paid $9 million a year, so he skates for free.
Got a raise, too.
Well, it's good work if you can get it. Yeah, a 26% raise. I'd take half that, quite frankly. But he keeps his job. Now, it's not, even if you're not going to be criminally prosecuted, as maybe an argument could be made that it didn't make it up to the CEO level, as shareholders and the board, shouldn't they go, as CEO, you should know? Is there any accountability from the private sector if the government won't do it?
Boy, I'll tell you, it seems to be some very weak accountability. We've seen a couple CEOs lose their jobs, but it was mostly about performance rather than actual wrongdoing. Ken Lewis at Bank of America, investors kicked him out, basically, from the job. He resigned. But that was more about the performance of the bank following the Merrill Lynch acquisition. And another guy, Vikram Pandit at Citigroup, resigned a couple years ago. But that was more about performance. It really wasn't about the bank's liabilities or the mistakes it made. And, of course, Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan Chase, he got a pay cut 1 year, but that pay was just rewarded. He got it all back this year. So we're seeing, it's hard to even call it a slap on the wrist. It's more of a gentle touch on the wrist.
Do you believe that this is policy not to go after the heads of the companies, or is this just they went as far as the evidence led them?
Well, I think you have to take U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder at his word, and he said in a committee testifying before Congress last year that there is fear that if you go after these banks too hard, you're going to create problems in the economic system. If the banks get hit too hard with criminal charges against individuals or at the bank, there was fear in the Justice Department that they would be, you know, pushing these parts of the economy too hard, and really got a lot of backlash for that, and is trying to turn it around. But I think without a real prosecution of an individual, people are going to look at that and say the guy is blowing smoke.
Right. Guilty as sin, free as a bird. We're talking with David Widener of Market Watch. He's a columnist there, Wall Street columnist. Now, the idea of too big to fail in these banks, we were sold a bill of goods in this Dodd-Frank legislation that this was going to really hold them accountable. This was going to get rid of too big to fail. Is this these prosecutions and the fact that too big to fail is still around, is this a result of Dodd-Frank, or is this just another thing that it missed?
Well, I think it's just another thing that, or if anything, even if it did have the potency that, and it's unclear that it does, to really hold these banks accountable and make them clean up practices and make them less systemically important. That's the technical term for too big to fail. It came too late, you know, because most of the serious misdeeds have happened prior to 2010 when that bill was passed. A lot of the real laws from that bit of legislation haven't even been enacted yet. So it's unclear whether or not that bill is really having a meaningful effect when it comes to holding people accountable for illegal practices at their banks.
Now, of the hundreds of billions of dollars lost, if not trillions of wealth lost in this country because of the financial crisis and the bogus investments and the junk that was sold by the banks and the mortgage crisis, has anybody been prosecuted at all?
Yeah, Derek, I mean, I don't want to say a lot, but a few small fish have been prosecuted. The one that stands out is Fabrice Touré, who was a banker at Goldman Sachs and basically the one who created a structured product called Abacus. I don't want to get into all the details, mm-hmm. but basically it was a security sold to investors basically to enrich a hedge fund manager. Who basically dictated the terms to this guy. It was a pretty egregious slam dunk case, and of course he was convicted. But, you know, it's interesting. He had bosses, and he had, this was a widespread practice across Wall Street. I mean, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of these products created that were designed to fail. And we haven't seen any individual, except maybe a handful, get prosecuted, actually marched into court or charged with something. And I think that's why the public is reasonably and, you know, skeptical that there is justice happening. And do you want to talk about Cecily McMillan?
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of Occupy Wall Street, but she's doing a little time there for assault. Tell us about Cecily McMillan.
Well, I just want to, you know, I just brought up a contrast there that, you know, we have these, you know, it's funny, our managing editor here likes to say, if you're going to steal, steal big.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, so you can definitely put some of these hedge fund guys who are doing insider trading or some of these bank executives who overlooked really shoddy practices in that boat. And here's somebody who, you know, went down to these Occupy Wall Street protests and, you know, by her account, she got manhandled by the police. And I was down there for some of those protests. It was pretty rough on both sides. So, she was grabbed from behind by a police officer. There's some video footage of it. And she elbowed the police officer. And she said, look, you know, I was just, somebody was groping me, and I didn't know who was behind me, and she admits to, you know, swinging her elbow at whoever was behind her, and it was this police officer, and she's getting 90 days in jail. She's getting 90 days in jail for assault. I don't want to say that that's, you know, that she should be set free or something, but I think it's interesting that somebody who goes down there and tries to exercise their freedom of speech is more likely to go to jail than some of these people who have wrecked our economy, foreclosed on homes, and when they should not have, and used fraudulent methods to do it, and basically sent the economy into the Great Recession, definitely had a role in it.
On the issue of the foreclosures and the mortgages in the economy, though, wasn't that kind of a mess that the government created over years, just building things upon things? I mean, the problem with a government that's so large is you create new laws, the old laws exist, and then there are people that companies and individual, really rich individuals, hire to find a way to get through all of it.
Right. And you're hitting it right on the head there, in that, you know, there was a lot of pro-housing policy, pro-lending policy that was pushed by the financial industry, and Washington went along with it. They mm-hmm. weren't looking out for constituents. They basically, Alan Greenspan, the Bush, the Clinton administrations really ran with this idea of cheap money because they want to help the economy.
They also put this finish line of home ownership
exactly.
over above whether or not somebody could afford the home.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a policy that began a long time ago, but mm-hmm. it really took off over the last 20 years and created the mess that we got into, of course. And no, the government wasn't looking out. It wasn't saying, yes, we can lend, but we need to be smart about it. Banks need to be smart about it. Homeowners and people taking out the loans need to be smart about it. They basically just said, everybody, you know, needs to get a home, rush down to the bank and take out as much money as you can, and you know, encouraging the banks to sign off on it. And of course, we had Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The government-sponsored entities that basically bought all this debt from the banks and put it on the backs of taxpayers, and we got into an incredible mess. There's a lot of people at fault, and it's a shame that some of the most egregious mistakes and some of the most egregious errors, some of the most obvious errors that were fraudulent, if not illegal, haven't been prosecuted on an individual level.
To really go after the perpetrators, I think we'd have to pull up to the Capitol Dome with a big, big paddy wagon. Last question for you, David. As we look forward, this last week, the Obama administration sort of at least started paying lip service, and I think even Mel Watt at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac started saying that we need to free up, we need to make it easier for people to buy homes again. Are we running risk of having learned absolutely nothing from what we just went through?
Boy, that's what it sounded like to me. Of course, these guys are saying we're not going to make the same mistakes again. But
right, we're just going to do the same stuff, and it'll be different this time.
For 200 years, we've been making the same mistakes in this country. And we go through an economic cycle every 7 years or so, and that time frame I think is getting a little shorter now. But you know, we said we weren't going to make the same mistakes they did that led us to the Great Depression, and we made the same mistakes. So I don't know. You know, we seem to be stuck in a pattern, and things aren't going to change until we bring in some people who are willing to stand up and say, no, we can't do it the same way we've always done it. We need to try something new.
Right. It'd be nice if people encouraged savings in this country rather than, if you can afford it, buy it. Even
Absolutely.
If you can't afford it, buy it.